joining us now. It is a privilege to have this gentleman come on our program, at least on a regular basis. Represents the folks up in DeKalb County around Rainesville, but always has time for a audience on the opposite side of the state here, Mobile. State House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter joins us on the line. Leader, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good, Jeff. I hope you're doing well, too.
Doing well, thanks. Thanks for that. Well, let's talk about you've I guess had to really kind of steer things under these protocol. It was really, there's so many unknowns heading into last week about how the legislative session was going to go. But it sounds like with there's been very minimal impact as far as the virus is concerned, because it's, as far as I can tell, everyone seems to be kind of following the guidelines.
They are. You know, everybody's doing a really good job. And we certainly, when we come in, we tested everybody and made sure we didn't have any issues. We had one member that tested positive, didn't have any symptoms, and had one staff member in the Senate, I think, that tested positive without symptoms. So they're been quarantined, and everybody else was good, and the staff and have done an outstanding job every afternoon. You know, they spray everything down and sanitize the whole building. It takes a while for them to do that, but they've certainly done an outstanding job. I think the protocol that Jeff Woodward has set forward with help of the speaker and some of the leadership being involved and, you know, being in some of those conversations. I know they went to a lot of detail to try and make sure they kept everybody safe, but that was certainly a priority of our leadership. And hopefully we can continue to do this. We're going to take a week off next week to reevaluate everything. And if everything continues on the path that it is now, we probably will just go back in full session.
That'd be without the interruptions. We'll go a while and it will take some time to reevaluate. You'll try to go in and I would assume start knocking out as much as you can.
That's right. You're exactly right. And we've already got some priority bills that today we'll be voting on. I think there's four or five that we'll have in the House when we convene today. If the Senate's already passed out, of course, the Safe Harbor bill being one of them, the bill where people won't have to pay on their taxes from the federal government on CARES money passed yesterday in the Senate. So it's done. We started it in the House, and you know, we got some other tax relief that we've sent out, and I think we'll have those out this week as well. So we've moved fairly well. I've been very well pleased with the process that we've made in the House, and in talking with the Lieutenant Governor yesterday and this morning, it sounds like that they're moving very well too in the Senate. So I'm encouraged. I mean, I think things are going well. You know, I think I talked to Dr. Harris, who came by to see me yesterday, and I know the vaccine is starting to roll out a little better now. And I know they've had some big vaccine drives across the state where they gave out a tremendous amount of vaccine. So, you know, we just keep our fingers crossed and pray that we continue on this path.
That sounds, because if you consider, I guess, 2020 was kind of a lost year for the most part, that you got to make up all this ground that you lost back then. And it really, you know, this third year, this quadrennium for the big picture stuff, or whatever you want to call it, the marquee stuff that gets all the headlines, this could be the make or break year, because that fourth year, typically it's a lot of just blocking and tackling.
Yeah. Well, you make a very good point. I think, you know, and then you've talked about that before. The thing I feel sorry for is our freshmen to come in this quadrennium, because they hadn't really got the experience, a good session without interference of one kind or another. And they come in and at the time where they had some votes, it was tough. And last year, our main focus was to get the two budgets out so we could continue state government. And we did that. And this year, you know, they're certainly scrambling, trying to get all their bills out. And we're trying to help them, you know, as much as we can to see some of the ones that wasn't able to do it last year, get those out. So that's something that we do have in our mind to make sure that we try to help with some of that legislation move. So the speaker and the rules chair has been good about that, and we've all worked together to make sure that that happens.
So it sounds like these priority bills going to get to the governor's desk that we just mentioned. Well, let's take for a moment, we talk about big things. The upper chamber there, they seem to be moving at a pretty rapid pace as well. First of all, having these discussions with you guys, y'all were trying to kind of keep keep things where you're not, you know, y'all would debate a bill and they would debate a bill or whatever, but try to keep them pretty similar as possible. So when it's all final and then you don't have to go through a conference committee, that if you do, both the chambers like something, it goes straight to the governor's desk. Are you able to kind of keep that in motion?
Well, we have been. I mean, it's been pretty good. We met with the Senate leadership, and, you know, the thing we've tried to avoid, Jeff, was working the same bill, you know, because you're taking time out of both chambers. You're working the same bill in the Senate and the House, and you're losing time. So what we try to do is just work in one chamber and then move it from one to the other. So we've been able to do that. Now, the first 2 weeks we felt like was the most important because we need to get out this priority legislation. It looks like after today that will happen. So now we'll have a large influx of bills coming in, and, you know, we'll try to continue on that pace. And certainly the Senate, I think, has done a great job moving everything that they had. And right now, I mean, I've knock on wood, things have been going really good in a tough situation. I know, you know, we'd like to be where everybody can come in the building, but just because of the pandemic, it's not safe and it's not feasible. But we have made it available for everybody to see. I mean, anybody wants to watch what's going on, be it in a committee here or be it on the floor of the House or the Senate, you know, they can go to Allison and look at it and view what's going on. I think that's been positive. And, you know, there's been a glitch or two where the sound wasn't what it should be. But the good thing about it, people here worked on it, and then if something wasn't going right, they'd fix it immediately. So I think all in all, we've been blessed, and the knock on wood, and we'll continue to pray that that happens.
Do you think there's a potential that you could open the State House back up? I mean, everything won't be completely normal, but that you know, as the session proceeds, if the vaccine really does make it, it's a lot more arms, which is always kind of a risky assumption to make. But if it does, that you could get back to maybe some public buy-in coming into the State House throughout the session?
Well, I think there's possibility. I mean, you know, there's always opportunity, especially with the vaccines coming out like they are. And we do have, in some of the committees, you know, if it's a public hearing, we give people a chance to come in and speak pro or for it or against it. And I was in one yesterday. I think there were like 11 people that come in and spoke, but it was one at a time, and they had to wait in a safe area, you know, and these protocols have been set forth so they can come in and do it safely. But they have been accessed, and we try to, from the House standpoint, we just use the first two floors to meet people. I've had a number of meetings on the second floor with different groups trying to work out legislation or trying to listen to what they're needing or would like to see done. So we continue to have people in, but it's got to be designated, and, you know, it's got to be somebody that has called in and got the appointment set by security. It's just safety features, but that's moved pretty well. I've been pleased with it, and I know our staff has worked really, really hard to make sure that happens. So we appreciate everything that they're doing.
Joined by State House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter here on the program. Tell me, and I don't know where you are on the whole gaming issue and what your opinion of the Senator Marsh's bill is, but tell me, What do the prospects look like at seeing some debate or discussion in the House about this? It seems like a lot of this is going on in the Senate. Are you optimistic that this will get some time in the House soon?
Yeah, I think it will. I've met with Senator Marsh, and we've talked multiple times about different issues in the bill. And you know, I've always said when I first got elected, you know, the gaming issues, you know, just been going on for years, and it's something that needs to be settled one way or the other. I think people deserve that. And you know, I'm not a big gaming person. I don't play the lottery. I don't buy tickets. But I think people want to vote on it. And my vote would be let the people make a decision on what they want to do. But I have looked at the legislation. Matter of fact, I've got it on my desk as we speak. And I think, you know, there's some things that needed to happen has happened. We talked about that earlier. It needed to be a comprehensive bill. It is. I think that's one of the things it had to be. That's what's always killed it in the past, because we try to go with just the lottery or just, you know, one or two entities, and it hadn't worked. This is much more comprehensive. It's got more players, and I think the way that the bill is written, you know, we certainly, I've been a opponent of a last dollar scholarship, similar to Tennessee Promise. I've been talking about that for a couple of years and actually had the legislation drafted that I gave to Senator Marsh when we were talking about it. And of course, as you know, mental health issue has been a priority of mine, and we certainly have been blessed to move the needle a little bit with the help of leadership and the governor. And I think this bill gives more money to mental health, and broadband certainly something that we need to be expanding in our state, especially during the pandemic with our students and our schools. So I think there's some things in there that would be positive for our state. You know, I know some people it's not going to be for, and I get it. Just like I said, I'm not really a gaming person, but I think at the end of the day, the people want to vote on it, and I think this is the most comprehensive bill that I've seen.
Well, reportedly, part of the bill would, there's the discussion of the five casinos or whatever gaming facilities. One could be up in your neck of the woods, DeKalb County or Jackson County, just to the north there. Have you any thoughts on that, on the possibility of a facility that close to your district?
Yeah, I mean, I have had some thoughts on it. And like I said, the Lieutenant Governor talked about it yesterday. And, you know, I think it's something that you got to really think about. And the local leaders need to be engaged. And I know they try to pick out geographically what the area is that's going to bring the most people by population. Of course, DeKalb County is a rural county, but if you put a circle around it, you're not good by an hour and 45, 2 hours from Atlanta, 2 hours from Nashville, an hour from Huntsville and Birmingham and Chattanooga. So we certainly, if you drew a circle around that area, there's a tremendous amount of population. So I'm sure that's what they look at. But I think there's a lot of things you got to look at. And you know, one thing the bill's got, if it goes to the county, they get a certain percentage. The city gets a certain percentage. So, and they'd have to have it probably to take care of the operational infrastructure that they need. So I don't really have a thought on that. I've been thinking more and more about it, trying to come up with a solution. And you know, my wife tells me, you know, I have got a friend that I need to talk to, and I make even a call that I think would have a good sense in my area of what they're looking at. So yeah, we'll see. We'll kind of see how it goes and see how everything falls in place and continue to have that discussion with the local leaders, and not only in government, but leaders in the community. And so anyway, we'll see how it goes going forward.
And you mentioned where the revenue would go. And like I said, you may not have had the opportunity to really get into the revenue side of it, but it sounds like a lottery is going to be mostly education. And then whatever is generated through the casino or sports betting part of it, where it's going to go. I guess as a framework, do you like where Marsh is headed with the dividing up the revenue?
Yeah, I mean, I've had conversations with him about that, and you know, I will say before he put it down on paper, he had gotten in touch with me, and I think some other members of the House, and I know the speakers certainly been aware of what's going on, and he and I've talked too. I think, you know, there's always people that would say that it should go in another place, and I don't know that it's perfect, but I do think that it has divided it up where that we get a lot of the needs met, and you know, it could be changed. It could change. I mean, it's premature to say that's how it'll stay, because as you know, and as a friend of mine once told me, it's kind of like making sausage. You know, it changes all the time. So, as far as the need for broadband in our state, there's no question. We've got 850,000 people in the state that didn't have accessibility to broadband. That's how we bring companies in for economic development. That's how we provide technology for our universities for research. So, there's no question that needs to be done. And of course, we just talked about the mental health and how important it is to our state. The scholarship programs, I think, grows our economy. I've talked to people in Tennessee about that. It's been amazing what they've been able to do with it. So I know some of it going back to the general fund, which, you know, we have very little growth in the general fund as far as revenue. The internet sales tax that the Supreme Court passed, it had to be collected. That certainly helped it, because a portion of that went into the general fund. But that, there's not a lot of growth in the general fund, so the 25% going there will help pay for some of the issues, like the governor's prison deal. And so, all in all, I think it's not a bad plan. I mean, could it change? Absolutely. Will it change? I can't say. I'm just one vote when it comes to that, but we'll see how it goes going forward. I think it got out of committee yesterday, so I think it's a good possibility to be on the Senate floor maybe when we come back.
Well, that's we'll keep an eye on it. Hey, Leader, we got to get to a break here, but thanks for taking some quick time with us this morning. We do appreciate it.
Jeff, I certainly enjoy it, always do, and thank you for helping us get the word out what's going on in the state, what's going on in our community. We certainly appreciate that. Thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you. You're very kind, and you have an open invitation anytime on this show. State House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter, ladies and gentlemen.